John chapter 21, we continue the theme of guilt and grace this morning. We come to a situation where we see a guilty man for sure, that's Simon Peter, and we see the grace of Jesus Christ. So John chapter 21, let's read again verses 15 to 17, this famous episode where Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Have you made any new friends recently? It's a real pleasure of life to make a new friend, isn't it? To meet someone who doesn't know you and you don't know them, but somehow you just click. And you don't have any history with them and they don't have any history with you, so there's complete openness, trust, straight away. They're your new friend. And you haven't let them down and they haven't let you down yet. Time may come, but at the moment it's all going well and everything is fresh. It's a really beautiful place to be in. There's no suspicion. No misunderstanding, there's no disillusionment, no shame, no judging or being judged. Just your new friend. It's a great, great place to be in a relationship. Your new friend. It's the same when Jesus becomes our new friend. That's one way of thinking of becoming a Christian. Becoming a Christian is a personal relationship where we come to discover, as we sang a moment ago in Psalm 63, "Your love, Lord, is better than life." You're my new friend. And it can be an exhilarating experience to become a Christian, particularly if it's quite a dramatic thing. You've suddenly got a new friend. That new friend is no less than the Son of God himself. And then time passes. And somehow the friendship can become jaded. Like the hymn writer William Cowper, we maybe find ourselves saying a few years after the beginning of our new friendship with Jesus, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where are the soul-refreshing views of Jesus and his word? Where is the blessedness? Where is the joy of new friendship now?" It happens to many Christians, perhaps to most Christians at some point. They lose that sense of freshness. Well, it would be great if we could restore that feeling. It would be wonderful if we could retain that feeling. What I'm going to tell you this morning is that you can, and not only that, you can move to an even higher level of friendship, even after you have been guilty of being unfaithful in your friendship to Jesus. So Peter and Jesus here are in a particularly difficult stage of their friendship. Jesus, of course, has been utterly faithful as a friend to Jesus, to Peter. But Peter has not been a faithful friend to Jesus. Peter has increasingly, in the past months, begun to misunderstand Jesus' purpose. He's understood his messiahship. He's begun to oppose Jesus. He's begun to get involved in arguments and disputes about Jesus and his relationship with Jesus. And this finally all culminates in his denial three times publicly that he even knows Jesus. Now that is usually in other friendships a fatal blow. I mean, if I was your friend and I was heard on the streets of Plockton with curses and swearing denying that I even knew you, it'd be kind of tough for our friendship to weather that crisis. It would need, on your behalf, a mighty effort of forgiveness in order for you to even begin to relate to me in a friendly way again. It's very hard when someone is wronged in a friendship for that wronged party to trust again, because there's always the question at the back of their minds, will he let me down this time? Will he break my trust again, or will she break my trust again? So in this relationship with Peter and Jesus, you maybe don't expect things ever to be the same between Peter and Jesus. It's the same with us, with Jesus. We may begin a relationship with Jesus and friendship, and it's wonderful, but then after a few months, we stumble and we fall. We do things that we're ashamed of, and we're ashamed of before Jesus. We disappoint him, and maybe like Peter, we deny him, or we misunderstand him, and criticisms and judgments come into our mind, and we have a sense we've hurt Jesus, we're no longer his new friends. And we maybe say in the words of Psalm 51, like David, restore to me the joy of salvation. And is it possible? Is it possible for me ever to know Jesus the way I knew him when I first became a Christian? And so for many Christians, what happens is the guilt that they feel of failing Jesus sinks their friendship into a level of relationship where there is less openness, there is less sharing, there is less enthusiasm, there is less praying, there is less listening to his word, there is less believing, there is more of a sense of guilt that Jesus must surely mark us down and hold against us what we've done. We don't deserve his best anymore. We feel, can our intimacy, our openness, our freshness of relationship ever be restored to what it was? Well, what happened with Jesus and Peter? We come to verse 15, and after the meal, the breakfast, all the disciples are involved. Somehow, if you like, the camera just focuses in on just Jesus and Peter. The rest of the disciples presumably are listening. Maybe not, but Jesus and Peter. And Jesus says to him, Peter, he says, do you love me more than these? Now, what are these? Stick your hands up if you want. What are these in this situation? Well, there are two. A lot of people think that, Ian. A lot of people think that. I'm not one of them, so don't hold it against me. But it looks like the other disciples, because Peter had said, you know, even though all the rest of these guys deny you, I won't. But the problem with making it the other disciples is, if Jesus is saying to him, do you love me, do you love me more than these disciples love me? It's creating a kind of tension between Peter and the other disciples. If Peter says, yes, I do, I love you more than they love you, it creates a bit of a kind of difference. Like, he's still saying he loves them more, he loves Jesus more. But there's another possibility. There's a big pile of fish sitting there. There's a pile of 153 fish minus the few they've taken for breakfast. It's a big pile because we know that they couldn't even lift the net into the boat. Big fish. Do you love me, Peter, more than you love these fish? Your livelihood. You're a fisherman. The means by which you provide for your family. You've just gone back to the fishing. Is that because you don't want to follow me anymore? Do you love me more than you love your vocation as a fisherman? Peter says, yes. I'm devoted to you, he says. Now, there are different words in this episode, in this sequence. You'll notice the NIV tries to represent that. One word it translates as truly love, and the other word just as love. So Peter, Jesus actually asks, do you really love me? It's the word agape. You may have come across the word. It's a special word for Christian love, really. And the other word Peter uses is the word for friendship. So do you truly love me, Peter? Yes, I'm devoted to you as a friend, Peter says. But he thinks to himself, but I know, Lord, it can never be the same. I have let you down. I can't forgive myself. Remember, we were thinking about that a couple of weeks ago. I can't forgive myself, maybe he's saying, for what I've done. I know, I wish things could be as they had been. Jesus asks him again, do you love me more than your livelihood? Or maybe more than the other disciples. I'm not going to make a big issue of it. Maybe more than the other disciples, as you boasted you did. Do you love me more? Yes, Lord, I'm devoted to you. Then make it your livelihood, Peter, to feed my church. Take care of my sheep. Feed my lambs. Look after them. Peter thinks, but how can I? How can you trust me again after my denial of you and how I've failed you? Yeah, I don't even understand clearly what your ministry and mission is. And so goes on. Do you love me? I'm devoted to you. Do you love me? I'm devoted to you. Then Jesus changes the word. Are you devoted to me? That's what he says in the last question. Are you devoted to me? And it says Peter is hurt because Jesus changed the word and asked, are you devoted? Like, he's questioning, are you really my friend? And also it's three times. It recalls the denial three times. Well, Peter can only appeal to Jesus' knowledge of the heart of the apostle. Lord, you know all things. You know that I am devoted to you. And with that, Jesus says again, feed my sheep. Peter, you may think that you will never amount to much now in your relationship with me, in your friendship with me, because of how you failed me. But I am going to entrust you with the charge of that which is most precious to me. Your livelihood no longer will be catching fish, catching men. You'll care for people. My sheep, to change the metaphor. You'll care for people who are my sheep. I will trust you with those for whom I gave my life. Jesus is saying to Peter, well, let's start again. Let us be new friends. Like we were beginning afresh, as though we had no previous history of your failure to be a friend to me. It's as though Peter's failures in his friendship with Jesus didn't happen. And as we know, shortly after this, Peter, just turning over a couple of pages in your Bibles, you'll come to Acts chapter 2, and Peter will preach on the day of Pentecost like a man with a completely new dynamic and confidence in his friendship and relationship with Jesus. He knows that he's been restored. He knows that Jesus has lifted him up to heights of friendship, which he certainly doesn't deserve, but which he nevertheless has received. His guilt has been overcome by Jesus' grace. Now, with ourselves and Jesus, we have to believe the same things are possible. Indeed, if we don't believe these things, there's not really much point in us looking at the Bible, because it's one of the most clear and obvious things in the Bible that Jesus is willing to forgive. We really dishonour him and rob ourselves if we don't believe that what he did for Peter, he can also do for us. Now you may say today words like, I can never be as close to Jesus as I once was because I have a history with Jesus now and I have failed as a friend of Jesus. But that's assuming that you had no history with Jesus when you first knew him. See, it's slightly different to meeting a new friend kind of, whether it's playing bridge or when you travel to another country or whatever, to meeting someone you've not met before and it's like a completely new beginning. Neither of you know anything about the other. It's not like that with Jesus. When we first become his friends, it's not like he's discovered us for the first time. We were, before that point, his enemies. Remember, we looked at that 2 weeks ago in Romans 5, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him. We became his friends through the death of his son. We did have a history. Even when you become a Christian, you already have a history with Jesus. Jesus knows all about you. And yet he's still willing to become your friend. Like Peter, he was willing to say to Peter at the beginning, follow me. Even though he knew that Peter was, in his heart, an enemy of God. But Jesus made him a friend. And all was new. So if Jesus was willing to forgive Peter when he was his enemy, how much more willing will he be to forgive him when he is his friend? If Jesus is willing to receive us into his family and circle of friendship when we were his enemies, how much more then is he willing to restore our friendship when we are his friends, when we can say, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you, but I haven't been very good at showing that love and I'm sorry. The net result is that actually when we do fail Jesus, if we really grasp what's happening here and what the gospel of salvation speaks about and the forgiveness of God speaks about, we will see that the friendship of Jesus is given an opportunity through our failure to show its true quality. Like, Jesus is not just willing to be new friends with us when we first come to him, but even after we failed him like Peter, he's willing to faithfully stick with us, to restore us to that new friendship as though we'd never failed him, and to start again with us. Such is the capacity of his forgiveness. And that's wonderful. It's not to say we should excuse our failure and say, well, you know, actually, the more times I let down Jesus as a friend, the more times he has an opportunity to show his forgiveness and faithfulness. That's a kind of perverse way of thinking. That's what Paul speaks about in Romans. You know, let's continue to sin that grace may abound. Sin doesn't do us any good. And we shouldn't want to hurt our friend Jesus. But if we do, we come back to him and say, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. I'm sorry. I didn't show it. Forgive me. Then he'll say to us, as he says to Peter, feed my sheep. He'll have a job for us. He'll restore us to full operation in his family and in his kingdom. Such is his friendship, the quality and capacity of his friendship. So let me just apply this to, first of all, anyone here who's maybe saying, well, actually, I've never been friends with Jesus. And how can I be friends with Jesus now? Because I have a history with him of keeping him at a distance. I'll come to church, but I kind of keep him at arm's length. I can't honestly say that I'm his friend. And I've been doing that for so long. Is it possible for me to be his friend now? you know, that is our guilt. If that's what we've done, that's our guilt. We've done wrong to hold Jesus at arm's length. But Jesus began by calling Peter, "Follow me," he said. And he says it again in verse 19 as well, reinstating him. He says, "Follow me." And he would say that to us today. You know, if he's saying it to us when we're 8 years old or 80 years old, then even if up to this point in our lives we've held him at arm's length and we've not been his friend, such is the quality of his ability to forgive that we can become his friend now. That's grace. Our guilt met by his grace. Salvation is about complete forgiveness, amazing forgiveness. God is calling us to come to him now. Follow me. We can put all our resisting of his friendship behind and receive him as a new friend today because of his power to forgive. So he says, come, and you come now to him, confessing your failure to be his friend, and asking that you may become that through his forgiveness, and he is willing to receive you. But if then, having been his friend, maybe for a long time, you, like Peter, have misunderstood him, you've opposed him, you've found fault with him, and you have denied him, so that you feel there is no longer an innocence and an openness in your relationship with Jesus, and you're ashamed, and you can't even allow yourself to enjoy his friendship any longer because you feel you don't deserve it. Well, that's your guilt. But that's Peter's guilt too. And Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. Jesus says, we can begin again. Peter says, do you mean you want me to care for that which is most precious to you after all I've done? And Jesus says, yes. I want you to be my new friend all over again. Remember the joy of your discovery of me in the first place, Peter? Well, here's another thing to joyfully discover. That even when you've let me down as a friend, I will remain faithful to you as a friend. And I am capable of forgiving you your unfaithfulness, your denial. Even though it hurt me and it cost me. And of reinstating our relationship. So that not only do you see me in all the glory of new friendship, but you see me in all the glory of a depth of friendship in which such forgiveness as mine is shown and is possible. That can put away all the ways in which you have denied me and broken your friendship with me and can help us to begin again. I will trust you, Peter. Even though you've shown yourself to be untrustworthy, I will trust you again and again and again. You will be my new friend again and again and again. What a savior. What a glorious savior. That's his grace to us. More of a friend than we thought. Not just a friend who stays faithful so long as we are good friends to him, but even when we're not, as Paul wrote to Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot disown himself. He's even more of a friend than we thought he was. His grasp on us is stronger. So we get to see through our failure how truly great is the friendship of Jesus. And we have to believe this and act upon it and not say I'm devoted to you, Lord, or like Peter, but I know I can't amount to much now. We mustn't think like that. I'm devoted to you, Lord, because of the wealth of your forgiveness, I know that we can reach greater heights of friendship than we've ever known before, despite my denials and failures. That's his grace. And we need to believe it and live in the joy of it. In the 19th century, the Free Church minister by the name of James Gundley Small wrote some familiar words. He said, "I've found a friend. Oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twine those ties which naught can sever, for I am his, and he is mine forever and forever."